Yeah.
I don't know what kind of joke we can put in here.
Yeah.
Hey, wait.
Ha-ha!
Wait. Well, have the three dick joke ever made it into the show yet?
The three dick joke?
Yeah.
Is that kind of like the three tit woman from Total Recall?
No. It's what's the difference between three cocks and a joke? Jeff can't take a joke.
Houdat Nation, thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I am your temporary replacement fill-in host, Jason. Jeff is on his bye week this week, so maybe we'll actually get drop a little actual knowledge during this show. I'm sure it probably won't flow as well since I'm a shitty public speaker, even on the internet. But we've got a couple of things to talk about. Not much. It's still the off season. There was one big story that we have to talk about, and some other side stories, so probably won't be as long of a show as it normally is, which is fine. Look, it's the off-season. There's only so much actual stuff to go around. I'm actually coming off a trip to Chicago this past weekend. I went with Renee and my parents. We went up and watched a couple of Cubs games. Got to see some of the city again, which I love going to Chicago. It's a fun city.
Did y'all fly or did y'all take the train?
No. We flew. But it's like a two hour and 15-minute flight. It's not bad.
No. Did you see anybody get shot?
No, because we stayed on the north side.
Ah, okay. Well, we're catching up in New Orleans. We're doing a real good job of.
We're trying.
We're trying. You know, Mayor McAndrew has done a really good job of putting us up there, getting the brand out.
Yeah, per capita, I'm sure
we blow
Chicago
them away.
Purpose,
yeah,
but in the total number. Chicago's got his beat, but that was, you know, interesting, and we talked, you know, a couple of cab drivers mentioned it. All the issues in Chicago are on the south side. Where we were, the north side, you know, around, we were staying at a hotel off Michigan Avenue, across from Millennial Park, across from the fountain from Married with Children.
Right. The
rich
side.
It's incredibly safe over there.
Right.
So many people just walking around. We did one of the river cruises. Got to see all the architecture buildings and everything. That was kind of nice. Went and stopped at the famous Billy Goat Tavern, which is underneath. It's interesting how it's set up. A lot of the streets now, I guess I say above ground, but the streets. But then underneath, there's also roads underneath. It's an interesting way the city is set up. But the Billy Goat Tavern is kind of underneath. So you're walking along Michigan Avenue. Had to take steps down underneath. I mean, it's an old dingy bar, but that's where Belushi got the cheeseburger. That's based off Billy Goat Tavern. But it was a fun weekend. The Cubs didn't win either game we went to. It was the baseball kind of sucked, but always do enjoy going for the weekend. But enough about me and my weekend. Damon, welcome to the show. Oh, sorry. Because I'm the host tonight, I'm going with the Red Bull and vodka, and I'll go with one right now. But Damon, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling all right, Jason. Not too good, not too bad. I'm still coming off the high of Atlanta blowing a 28-3 lead. 5 months later, still coming off that high.
I don't know if you saw it. Somebody posted a GIF. There was a race at a baseball game, it was a mascot, but not really a mascot. Maybe like a groundskeeping mascot slash guy, kind of in one of those, like, you know, the weird guys with like the green bodysuits,
right
where you can't see. It was something similar to that, and they gave the guy a head start. It basically started all the way in the outfield dirt from left field, went all the way to right field. Guy started off with like a 200 foot lead. Eventually the other guy starts and they're going around and he's catching him up, but towards the end the guy's celebrating like he's got it, and he stumbles right at the end, and the and the groundskeeper mascot wins. So somebody made a GIF and put the Falcons logo on the guy's head with the lead and the Patriots logo on the other one.
Funny. Well, did you hear, and I don't know, we could say, well, I mean, we're just kind of more easy flowing since Jeff isn't here, but the Patriots Super Bowl ring.
I saw that and I thought it.
283 diamonds or 283, it can't be 283 carats.
Yeah, no, it's 283 diamonds. That's what it, right. That's what they said.
283 diamonds because Robert Kraft wanted to get the 28-3 on there.
Second best Super Bowl ring ever.
Second best Super Bowl ring, second best Super Bowl. All nice.
It was great. Right. And, of course, Falcons fans get mad. It's like, well, hey, how about this? Don't blow a 25-point lead in the Super Bowl. How about that?
That would help.
So, free-flowing summer episode. The off-season continues. So let's get into a little fake news.
Am I making this presentation directly to the American people? With the media present, which is an honor to have you. This morning, because many of our nation's reporters and folks will not tell you the truth. Russia is a ruse. It's all fake news. It's all a ruse. Not true. It's all fake news.
We'll start with, obviously, the real big news that came out last week about Nick Fairley. Comes out, he's, all of a sudden it came out, oh, he's got this major heart condition. His career is in jeopardy. So that comes out, full-blown panic happens. And, look, clearly we had never heard anything about it. Apparently, this was something of them college. There was an issue in his physical that they found, but he's still been able to play, you know, these past 7 years. So he had one doctor's opinion he should never play football again. Another opinion said, well, he's been playing so far and the doctor feels that he can play, so he's now getting a third opinion, and we have yet to find out the results. Look, I don't want this guy to jeopardize his life playing football, you know, as a human being. Look, if they say you can't play, you can't play. You know, it sucks, and as a Saints fan, this really sucks, because coming into the offseason and moving forward, the interior defensive line was actually considered a strength. I mean, Fairley was the second-best defensive player we had on the field last year.
Oh, no doubt.
And then you get Rankins coming back. You got Davidson and Omanyada. You're looking at those four defensive tackles, and you're thinking, that's a pretty good group of four defensive tackles.
100%. I mean, it's going to be a strength this year.
So, well, we still don't know what result is going to be. But if third opinion comes back and it says no.
Well, yeah, he has to make the decision, and obviously you don't want to die. Now, have you heard what the actual condition is? I think it's an enlarged heart.
Enlarged heart, yeah, that's...
Okay, you know. I wonder if it was, you know, like we said, you said, he's been playing with it for 7 years, and obviously it happened, you know, I'm sure he had it in college also, or at least somewhat. And so I wonder if it's been giving him trouble. And that's why he's, or if he's just under, because of it, he's under constant doctor care, and his doctor just told him to, you know, hey, you better watch it. Maybe it's time to retire. We don't know, of course, like all Saints injury news, it's kept quiet by Sean Payton.
But, yeah, it said when he was discovered at the combine, it wasn't something that was uncommon. Past his physical last year, but then apparently doctors noticed a new concern during his physical this year.
Okay.
But it's weird, so why is there, I guess, maybe something changed from last year to this year that would cause
concern?
I mean, look, we're not really known to have the best doctors around. Maybe the last year's doctors were the shitty ones, and we might actually have upgraded to some competent doctors if we noticed something. It's interesting, too, because we just gave him that big contract.
And that is my concern. And, you know, of course it's health. We all want to be healthy, okay? Let me say that so I don't have to keep saying it. But, right, with the new contract, if he retires, what the fuck did that do to the salary cap?
Well, I think we're still – I don't think that affects – like, I think we're still on the hook for a signing bonus. Well
– Sure, we would, right. Any unpaid portion, you know, unless you just don't cut him and just say he's still on the team.
Still on the team. Maybe keep him around.
Right. You say, okay, well, look, I'm not going to cut you. I don't know. I mean, it's, a selfish, but...
I mean, right, as fans, we're looking at on the football side.
Sure. Like I said, we don't have to say it. We hope he's healthy and he lives for 100 years.
Yeah, right. We don't want him to die on the
right,
field.
No, sure we don't. But... Again, but that is a concern. I mean, fuck, we don't need any more dead money. I mean,
right.
Or dead players.
Okay. But right, I mean, it looked like there's a lot of optimism coming in. We threw a lot of shit at the defense. You're thinking, okay, maybe this is the year the defense turns around. Let's get a little luck. We had all these shitty injuries last year. And then something like this comes out, and you're like, what the fuck?
Right.
Selling our souls for that Super Bowl in 09, they'll come back to haunt us, and you know what? It was still fucking worth it.
Oh, amen.
Okay, moving forward, if we get the third opinion and it says not good, you shouldn't play, and he doesn't play, so then you're looking at Rankins, Davidson, Onyemata, and I mean, I don't know who else.
No, I mean, that's it. That's on the roster.
Yeah, right, in terms of on this roster.
Right.
Now, I'm sure they'd go looking for, I don't know who's even available, or if they try to swing a trade or wait for cuts to happen and bring in somebody else. But
again, I'd imagine, again, what we just spoke about, because of the salary cap concerns, if he's still on and he's eating up cap, then they're going to have to look for somebody on the cheap.
Yeah.
Someone like what he did, a show-me contract, a prove-it-to-me contract.
Yeah, or just some kind of veteran defensive tackle that maybe isn't on a team. Like, I think, isn't that guy Porkchop? The guy's nickname is Porkchop. He was in Denver for a while, then he went to Washington.
Yeah, I have no idea his real name or that.
Maybe not Porkchop, but Pot Roast. Pot Roast. It's great. I'm thinking food names. They got Pot Roast, whatever his actual name is. I know he was in Denver and he went to Washington. I think he may be a free agent. But then, right, you're looking at a guy like that who, I mean, you're going, like I said, from what I perceive to be the strength of the defense is the interior.
Putting a hole in there and lose you some depth. And
right, being a huge question mark now. So, look, I hope, like we said, and we'll preface it, I don't want any bad things health-wise to happen to Fairley, but I really hope that the third opinion comes back good and he plays because they need him. The football sense, they need him.
Right, so until we get that third opinion, until he gets that third opinion, and obviously he has to make all the decisions like we all do in our life, as far as our health is concerned, and to see what he can do. So, yeah, hell, what else can you say?
Yeah, I mean that's it. You just gotta wait to see what wait to see what the third opinion is and see what he does. Let's just hoping for good things. So the only other bit of Saints news that actually came out today, Saints signed quarterback Ryan Nassib.
Championship.
Right. That's gonna put us over the top.
Right.
Played 4 years as a backup in the Giants with a fourth round pick to Syracuse. Apparently the Saints were high on him in that draft.
Okay.
But he had an elbow injury last year, end of the season on IR. So, I mean, I would still tend to doubt that he beats out Chase Daniel because of Daniel's familiarity with the system. But if they decide to keep three quarterbacks, I mean, maybe he might have a leg up on old Grayson.
Right.
That might be the end of the line for Grayson.
Yeah, I mean, or it could just be a camp body, another arm out there. We're doing OTAs and mini camps in June, and maybe they just want another arm out there.
They need somebody else to do those QB challenges.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, not much to say. I mean, he's a backup. Let's hope to God he never plays, that kind of thing. So, I mean, other than that, I mean, same news. OTAs conclude this week. I think it's open to the public.
It is. They did open to the public. I don't know when you're going to go because if you look at the forecast, it's thunderstorms every day from here till next week. So
yeah, and they don't let the fans in the indoor facility.
No.
This is funny. I mean, this multiple years, I'm like, maybe this year I'll go to watch a practice or watch an OTA, but OTAs pass by and it doesn't happen, and then training camp comes, and I'm like, it's too fucking hot to go see
it. It is every year. Now, obviously, we haven't done it the last 3 years because we were in Greenbrier. But my nephew and I always take a day off and go there. And you're right, we go there, we get there, and we don't stay an hour. And even that's a struggle because it's so freaking hot out there. You know, there's no shade. We usually go and stay for about an hour and watch them. And it's fun. Look, you know, if you have kids and you haven't done it, I definitely would say go watch it. It's a different side of the NFL you don't really get to see. But it is so hot. And I think I've told the story before on the podcast. You can stop me or cut it out. When we practice at Millsaps in Jackson, obviously right after, you know, Katrina, we went 1 year, drove to Jackson, Mississippi, 2.5 hours. It was so hot. We walked from the car to the practice field, sat on the bleachers. We might have sat there for 15 minutes. And it was so oppressively hot. We said, fuck it, this is enough. And went, got in the car, went, grabbed something, and drove back home. I mean, we literally drove 5 hours and sat there for at maximum 15 minutes. The heat was so fucking bad. And I don't know how those fucking guys did it up there. I really don't. I really
wow.
don't.
I mean, it sounds like when I went to the Tampa game in 07, like first quarter in the seat, the rest are like, fuck it. Watched the three quarters underneath the concourse, watching it on TV. It felt like 120 degrees.
Right.
I don't know how those fans sit through that shit.
Goodness, no. That's why, and we can talk about this in a second, but that's why I always want a roof and a dome.
And air conditioning.
And air conditioning. Like I said, I haven't missed a game in the dome since 89. That streak would not be alive.
Oh, fuck
if no. It was an outdoor stadium. I mean, it would not be alive. I can tell you that. Maybe when it first started, when I was 15, and you know, and sure, you know, you're young and you're stupid, and you can handle that. But definitely over the last 4 or 5 years, no, I would have missed. You know, oh, it's raining. I'll stay home. Oh, it's cold. I'll stay home.
Moving along, we've got.
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
They are going to implode the Georgia Dome, the old circus tent. Just like Barnum & Bailey Circus is folding, so is the Atlanta Circus Tent.
But, I mean, how many times has the Atlanta Falcons imploded in that dome in the last 20 years anyway? I mean, you know. So.
Yeah, this is nothing special for them. It's just a normal fall occurrence.
Right. But they are imploding the Georgia Dome. Now, if I'm correct, opened in 92. So that's 25 years ago?
Yeah.
Superdome... 1975, it opened. 42 years old, still just a classic, an icon, you know, that we're doing things to it to keep it
relevant.
Right, relevant. But it's so many stadiums have come and gone. The Silver Dome in Pontiac, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
That was built in 75, opened same time as the Dome, closed in 2001. The Astrodome in Houston. I do not remember the name in Seattle. They had something.
Oh, the King Dome.
The King Dome.
Yeah, the home of WrestleMania III. The King Dome. Yeah, the Metrodome in Minnesota.
The Metrodome. Right. All these stadiums that they... were built either after the Superdome or contemporary around the same time have come and gone in the Superdome.
Well, and even then you think, like, obviously the Saints had the Dome had the renovation after Katrina, $300 million, but even the Georgia Dome had a $300 million renovation beginning in 2006.
Really?
Same type of renovation right. at both domes, and yet now they're building the metal asshole.
Right. I mean, it's just a testament to the dome, and I guess we can.
Right. I mean, even the Georgia Dome had the same type of renovation, you know, same dollar value of renovation, and now they're building. But that it tends to be the case now. I mean, it seems like these owners keep fleecing taxpayers for stadiums and threaten to move, and the NFL is so big.
Sure.
A lot of these cities cave. I mean, San Diego didn't cave, and the team left.
Right. Right.
St. Louis didn't cave. The team left.
Yeah.
Oakland didn't KA. The team left.
Wow. Jason, you make a good point there. You're right.
It's unfortunate the way it is. I mean, it's amazing that these billionaires get taxpayers to pay for their stadiums. Right. And yeah, look, you host football games, you know, 10 games a year, and you get a Super Bowl out of it. But there's only a handful of, I mean, I guess, you know, the Dome being an indoor stadium, you've got boat shows and other shows. But in terms of concerts, I mean, it takes a big act to fill it. I mean, Guns N' Roses was there in the summer. I just saw today U2's coming. But there aren't many acts that can fill these giant stadiums.
No,
like Dave Matthews, Bruce Springsteen, they could fill it.
Right.
There's not many.
No, they're not. The other ones, they go to the arena right next door. But the Dome has plenty of things. You know, the Essence Festival, like you said, they just had the country music, Bayou Fest.
WrestleMania, which is
WrestleMania,
coming back.
You know. And I'm kind of keeping my fingers crossed. I think we might – I'm hoping – that, you know, with some things like WrestleMania, I think we might be put on a little rotation for WrestleMania, you know?
That's what it seems like. I mean, it was only a couple of years ago that it was here, so...
I want to say 12. I mean, I still have my... I have my WrestleMania shirt and my Hulkamania shirt that I bought...
I have my ticket. I think it was 20... It was WrestleMania 30. It might have been 2014. I think it was 2014.
Really? Okay, so 4 years, you know, but I figured they do that every 4 or 5 years, yeah. But yeah, if we talked about this before, obviously I've always mentioned, look, the Dome is in the black every year. It makes its own money, even with, you know, the great inducements it gives to the Saints. So the difference between, you know, the circus tent and some of these other places is the location of the Dome, and we talked about it again last time. You can't – anywhere else would really just – if you put it in, God forbid, Kenner or on the West Bank or somewhere else.
Or New Orleans East. Yeah, I mean, forget about it.
Right. It would just lose –
it
would lose this, you know, such an attraction, because when you do have these big events, you come, you stay in your hotel room, you can walk across the whole city, the CBD, the warehouse, the French Quarter, then your event at the Dome. So it is such a – it's something that we actually did right, you know.
Yeah.
And I think Lachey said it in a deeper article I read where, you know, he said, he looks and he said there's so many things because of how it was over-engineered. There's so many things that you can actually move and do with and play with in the Dome.
Well, yeah, I mean, I remember when they used to have the Busch Classic. I mean, it could be configured for baseball games as well as football games, in addition to all the other stuff. So.
Right. Now, I don't think it can be configured to baseball anymore.
Uh-huh.
With some of the, but you know what? It might still be able to. I was in the Dome this weekend. They had a little thing with the suites, and you could go look at suites and stuff. And I can't afford a suite, but they invited, they invited me, and I wanted to go look at them. And they had – I didn't realize that a lot of the seats could still be pushed back. You know, I knew that was the case before, but I thought after the last upgrade they couldn't do it. But, yeah, but they had a lot of the seats out and everything, and I forget what they were. I might be getting ready for Essence, I think. But the Dome is versatile. It can hold lots of things. It makes money. It's great. There really are a lot of good seats. Just something that we found, you know, that it paid for itself and it continued to pay for itself in other projects. So, wow.
Yeah, right. We went from imploding the Georgia Dome to talking about our Dome.
Well, yeah. Well, of course, this is a Saints podcast, you know. I mean, fuck Atlanta. My point being is that whatever Atlanta built, the Superdome is better than. Whatever they're going to build, the Superdome is better than.
Yep.
And we're
right.
Better in Atlanta.
That's right.
In every way.
In every way. All right, so moving along, we're going to take a little different direction here. We're going to talk about LSU baseball. Finished off the Super Regional last night.
Okay, can I throw – I'm sorry.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me throw one more thing since we're hitting on Atlanta. Showing that the bad decisions didn't stop with Kyle Shanahan's play call in the Super Bowl, the Atlanta Falcons announced Friday that superstar turned inmate Michael Vick, okay – who took a $130 million contract from the team and reciprocated by lying about his involvement in a dogfighting ring that eventually sent him to prison. We all remember that? Remember Michael Vick? He will be honored with a retirement ceremony so he can call it quits as a member of the franchise he nearly ruined.
Oh, him and Rodney White.
Right.
They're both being honored.
Right. But Michael Vick, wow.
When the Falcons come to town here, there are still Falcon fans wearing Michael Vick jerseys.
Yes, yeah.
See it all the time.
Right. Well, if you remember, trying to think when he went to prison 8-9. Anyway, he came back and he was with Philadelphia. His first return to the Falcons as a Philadelphia Eagle, you could hear on TV the chants of, "We want Vic. We want Vic." And I think that was like 2008, 2009. We want Vic. Just hilarious.
Hey, I mean, that's Atlanta for you.
Right. We're going to be celebrating one day. And remember, Drew Brees, Michael Vick, both drafted in the same class.
Yep, same draft. Michael Vick was taken fifth overall. Drew was, what, first pick in the second round?
First pick in the second round.
Yep. Or not, yeah, Michael Vick first overall. That's right.
First overall.
First overall. Right. LT was fifth. They had the pick swap.
Right.
Michael Vick that's
first
wild.
Overall, and he hasn't been relevant or, I mean, I'm not going to go into the
He had that one rejuvenated season in Philly, and then he got another $100 million contract in Philly. That's the crazy part. The guy has gotten two $100 million contracts. Right. Now, he didn't see all that money, but still.
Right. Yeah, still. It's incredible. But he is, I don't know the last time he played or took a snap, but Drew Brees still throwing for 5,000 yards, leading the fucking NFL. Michael Vick celebrating his retirement as an Atlanta Falcon. Once again, the Saints are better than Atlanta at everything they do.
Everything. All right, moving along. We'll switch gears here. LSU baseball.
Well, Mr. Burns had done it. The power plant had won it. With Roger Clemens clucking all the while. Mike Socia's tragic illness made us smile. While Wade Boggs lay unconscious on the barroom tile. We're talking softball, from Maine to San Diego. Talking softball, Mattingly and Canseco. Ken Griffey's grotesquely swollen jaw. Steve Sachs and his running with the law. We're talking Homer, Ozzie and the Straw.
Just finished up the Super Regional against Mississippi State. They are moving on once again to the College World Series. A two-game sweep of Mississippi State against former assistant coach Andy Canizzaro, who is now the head coach of Mississippi State. Apparently some bad blood still between him and the program. But look, LSU has now won 16 games in a row. Just firing on all cylinders right now. Scored 14 runs last night to clinch it. Multiple rain days yesterday. And it was interesting, you know, the first game we had gone out to dinner in Chicago, and both games were really like 8 o'clock games. I was kind of surprised at the time, but so we went out to dinner, you know, kind of checking in on the phone. See, it's, you know, Tigers down 1-0 for majority of the time, then they go down 3-0. So we're just kind of like, oh man, that's not good. So, you know, went to probably a 2.5 hour dinner, got home, got back in the hotel, and I turned it on. And LSU's down, and I get to see the comeback in the hotel room. Just the amazing comeback at the end, Dykeman with his hit, and it's like, wow, like it just seems like this might be one of those teams that could just find a way to win. And it's interesting too, you know, college baseball is really big down here. I mean, LSU leads the country in attendance every year. College baseball really isn't that big of a sport, considering, you know, baseball is quote unquote a major sport. But in terms of college baseball, it doesn't get huge ratings, doesn't draw a ton of attention. But here it does. But, you know, midway through the season, LSU was kind of scuffling a little bit. Fans are calling for Mineri's head. You know, they couldn't win the weekday games, lost a lot of midweek games to the in-state rivals, lost to McNeese, lost to some other teams, and people were saying maybe Maneri needs to go, but look, this team's, you know, obviously LSU's going to have a ton of talent, but team's loaded, and they've just been on a roll lately. It's been fun to see.
When was the last time LSU won a
national title?
Yeah.
2009.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
2009 they won. It might have been, it was Maneri's, he had like just taken the job.
Right.
After Skip. Smoke LaBall.
Oh, Smoke, that's right. Oh, fuck, I forgot him. Right, it was Smoke that he went like from the early 2000s to 2000.
Yeah, he went a couple times, lost, and then the program just suffered, and we fired him. But it was interesting how I remember that. Adam, Bivin, Courtney, Chad LaBorde, and I had gone up to Ohio to watch Jack Nicklaus's the Memorial Golf Tournament to go watch Tiger Woods. And it was the same weekend as the College World Series, and we leave the tournament, stop at a sports bar. They were running a special, and all you can drink Red Bull and vodka, and we drank them out of Red Bull.
Oh,
oh yeah. I mean, like, it's five guys from the South, and that was right. Kind of like in the height of like our, at least I know mine, like my height of my Red Bull and vodka kick. And right. Eventually, like, you guys can't drink any more Red Bull. But the College World Series is on, and we watched LSU win one of the games.
Nice.
I just happened to recall it then. But, yeah, first time – I mean, they were there in – they went to the World Series in 2015, but haven't won right. since. But this is one of the better teams they've had. They've got Alex Lang, who's a stud, projected to go in the first round of the draft tonight. Greg Dykeman, stud. I mean, a bunch of these guys, they've just been playing unbelievably over the winning streak. And they're going to go up against Florida State. It's going to be the first opponent they face, another big-time college baseball program. And that's going to start next weekend.
Right. And again, maybe like what you said, you know, I'm going to say when we were growing up, but we were young, you know, obviously during the 90s and early aughts, I mean, with Skip, LSU was dominant in college baseball. I mean, just dominant.
Yeah, and that was also the age of Gorilla Ball.
Right, that's right. And again, maybe it's a good connection with LSU. You know, I'm not a big baseball fan because we don't have – I mean, I know we have the baby cakes. I still hate calling them that. But, you know, we didn't grow up – like you said, you're a Chicago fan because – you know, because
– WGN watching
right, WGN,
on TV.
But we didn't have one. But my point is being that I enjoy college baseball more than watching the pros, at least for me, because – again, you know, I have LSU.
You have an interest.
Right, I have an interest. I have a connect LSU. And then I have a buddy who went to Texas A&M, another friend who went to Ole Miss. So, you know, Ole Miss was decent a couple of years ago. And then speaking of Texas A&M, I mean, what a game they had the other night.
Yeah, that extra inning game against Davidson.
Right, Davidson. I mean, I'm watching. I don't know who Davidson is in was it 15 innings? 16? 15?
It was, I don't, I know we had gone out to dinner, but I remember seeing, like, man, the game was going on for so long.
Right.
Well, it's kind of like a couple years ago, LSU lost to freaking Stony Brook in the Super Regional. Kind of Stony Brook beat us in the Super Regional a couple years ago.
Well,
and look, in college baseball, you can, you know, if you got a decent enough number one starter, I mean, if you can get that first win,
right.
you can find a way to survive. But LSU, you know, LSU looks primed and ready to make a good run at it this year. So I'll definitely be watching. I'm excited. Hopefully they can get it done. I mean, this is a really good team. It'll be fun to watch.
It would be nice. It would be nice.
And then final topic of the night, we'll move on. At least Jeff isn't here to complain about it, although you may complain a little bit. I guess a topic and a half. This is the U.S. Open week, second major of the golf season.
Welcome back on this glorious Sunday afternoon to the final round of the Inverary Classic. The legendary champion is now approaching the 18th tee box with an insurmountable 8-stroke lead.
Well, let's wrap this thing up.
And the gallery lets the champion know what a fine 3 days of golf he has had.
Up at Erin Hills in Wisconsin, and actually original Don't Patrol podcaster, Adam, is going up there. He bought tickets.
Nice.
So he's flying up there. He actually got tickets to all 4 days. It's the first time it's ever been at this course. It's a beast of a course up in Wisconsin, playing 7,700 yards, really long. It looks like links style, You know, not a lot of trees, a lot of bunkers, a lot of undulations. So a lot of good golfers are playing really well, wide fairways. You know, second major of the year, the U.S. Open's always tough. One of the big stories is Phil Mickelson is not playing because his daughter is graduating on the Thursday of the opening round. So he said unless there's a weather delay at the U.S. Open, he's not playing. His daughter is giving a speech at the graduation, so he's actually skipping it. You know, this is the one major that he hasn't won yet. He's 46 or 47,
right,
so he doesn't
right.
have many of these left where he can compete. He's skipping it. So it's an interesting. I mean, look, he said he's always been about family.
No, no doubt. And look, I mean, he's in the twilight of his career. You know, I mean, and look, even if our listeners, if you don't like golf or you don't watch golf, the only, in my opinion. The only two tournaments to watch is the Masters because of the pomp, circumstance, and history with it. The Masters is fun to watch. And then the U.S. Open because it's finally a course where they don't kiss these prima donnas' asses and they make the course difficult and, you know, 90, I mean, sometimes 100% of the field is over par.
Yeah, they grow the rough to crazy lengths.
Right. You know, I mean, 300 par would probably, you know.
Yeah, right. Like, at the beginning of the week, if you said you'll take 300 par, everybody would take it.
Right. So, I do enjoy watching the U.S. Open because it looks, I don't know, it looks like golf. I mean, you know, it looks like a challenge. That makes any sense. You know,
definitely a challenge. Definitely,
you know.
Now, I love watching the British Open because it looks different, and the court, it's such a different style of game.
Right.
But this is going to be the first time since 1994. This is kind of shows you know, the end of this quote-unquote era.
Sure.
This is the first time since 1994 that neither Phil nor Tiger is going to be in the field in the U.S. Open.
Wow. Oh, yeah. No, look, those guys, their time has passed, like
I mean,
we have talked about before.
I mean, Phil still is competing. I think he finished tied for, like, eighth or tied for ninth last week. So he can still compete. But, I mean, to win the U.S. Open is going to be more of a young man's game. You know, an older guy, like, he can probably compete at the Masters. He competed at the British. A U.S. Open is so hard. It's so mentally draining how tough it is. I mean, you hit it in a thick rough. I mean, you got to chop it out middle of the fair. Like, you're done. You can't hit the green.
Right.
So. But it's going to be the third year of Fox and their coverage. They took their lumps the first year, thought they did a lot better next year. We'll see how they do again this year. But as a side note to the U.S. Open, we'll stick with one last golf topic. Tiger Woods checked into rehab.
They said, I need to go to rehab. And I said, no, no, no.
So apparently he's checked into rehab so he can try to, you know, make sure that he can maintain the partial custody of his kids. Paul Azinger, a former PGA player, former Ryder Cup captain, came out in an interview last week and said he's heard some players think that, you know, Tiger has had a pain medication issue for a while now.
Oh, really? Okay, I didn't see
that. Well, remember back to 2009 with that whole issue,
right.
When the cops came, and he was asleep in his car. On Ambien. He was taking Ambien. He fell asleep in his car
right. When
the cops came. And when you factor in all the surgeries he's had, all the injuries, it's easy to get hooked on that kind of shit.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, no doubt. HBO had a cool little special about the pain meds and you know, the opiates that are being prescribed today. Well, good for him that he's getting some help and get his head right. And It's just funny. I mean, you say that, you know, the rumor is he's doing it to keep, you know, his joint custody with his wife. I'm just wondering if he brought something up that you know, that would push this to make him do what he's doing.
I would think that, plus Tiger's usually in the past, he's always tries to, you know, if there is anything negative about him, he tries to kind of get ahead of the story and kind of put a positive spin on it. So I'm sure his team, I mean, look, he definitely should go to rehab, you know, not for himself, not for any other reason, but of course, you know, it's a good thing to get out in front of it, send him to rehab, try to project, you know, a better image. other than the video came out, because the video came out, and I didn't really want to watch it because it's bad. I mean, I've heard, you know, some of, but I mean, he looked just completely out of it.
Because he was.
I know there was a story that came out that apparently something, he said he was on Xanax too, but in the initial report that was redacted. So, yeah, like, I hope whatever issues he's facing, I hope he gets fixed, because I really do want to see him back at
and, some point. Well, and look, I mean, you and I have had the discussion, and we're not going to have it again. I mean, he'll never be Tiger Woods. You'll agree with that, too. He'll never be Tiger Woods.
Right. He'll never be what yeah.
Right, right. What, you know, what we have in our mind of Tiger Woods. But look, he's a young man. He'll get through all this. He had more money than he can possibly spend. He's still a big draw. He'll be like the Palmer and Nicholas and you know, 7 years from now when he's 50 and he joins the senior tour or champions tour. I think they call it now.
I don't even think he's going to play the senior tour.
Oh, I think he will. I think he will. And look, he'll have to, because no offense, even though he has all this money, he gave half to his wife.
But look, he still made the. It can't, you know, they released the Forbes earnings, right. You know, earnings this year. He still made $37 million this year,
right? Which is incredible. But compared to what he's making in his prime, that's not a lot of money. You know, he made 37 after taxes and agents and blah blah blah. Brought home 15. Look, I mean, if I brought home $15 million in 1 year, that'd be it. I'm done forever, right. Forever. But my point is being that he has a lifestyle he has to maintain. Being associated and being in the golf world helps him maintain that life, you know. And
maybe that'll be a motivating factor to get back. It's like, look, he needs to get back on the course to try to keep that
100%, 100%. And you're right. And I hope he does get back on the course and people can watch him and he's still a young man, and all these things will go away, and he'll you know, we'll all look at him in a very good light. I'm telling you, 10 years from now, none of this will be remembered. But from now to 2009 to 2017, he's had a rough go of it.
So, all right.
Wait a second. There is one major sports thing going on we didn't talk about. I mean, the NBA Finals.
Yeah, I haven't watched any of it. I've been very disinterested in the finals because of first of all, the playoffs has been a big dud. But then, look, it's, we all knew it was going to be Cleveland and Golden State, and I just and I know over the past 30, 40 years of the NBA, there's only been a handful of teams that have won titles. It's not like there has been a ton of parity in the league. But when you see the Warriors do what they're doing, and yes, they lost Game 4, and Game 5 is tonight, I still expect them to win the championship.
Right. But I expected, I expected them to win it last year also.
But okay, but they were that good, and then they added Kevin Durant.
No, you're right. I mean, I just, yeah, you're right.
You know, they're just...
How unfair is that?
You know, like as good as LeBron is and has been, Golden State's just they're just too good, and it hasn't sat well with me, and I'm just frustrated because
why? See, Golden State doesn't bother me like the Heat did several years ago.
The Heat bothered me back then too.
Besides going out and getting Kevin Grant, Golden State built their team. Okay.
With the other three guys, they did. They built a hell of a great team that won 73 games last year.
Right. But I'm talking about...
then you go out and bring in an MVP?
Well, sure. Well, look, they're trying to get better, and obviously winning and being in California helps them. When Miami did it, I felt like those players colluded. I mean, I forget which one. I don't know.
Oh, sure. They
were taking less money. They were built, I didn't like that aspect of it. But again, you know, Golden State, Bill, yeah, they went out and got a big name in Kevin Durant, and he wanted to go there because he wants a championship. That's fine, but Curry and
Curry and Clay and Draymond were all drafted by Golden State. I agree.
Right.
Golden State built and Curry, Golden State built the very
right. They built that team, and now they're seeking benefiting from the reward. They're enjoying the reward. So I don't have the same. I had a sour taste in my mouth when Miami won it with that team.
But I guess I just still, and maybe it's because like we have a team too. But fuck, we are not even close.
Oh no,
like, I can't expect to compete with either of these teams. Even though I think they did beat Cleveland in the regular season, but
well,
I can't. It's just as you know, like if you're a fan of one of these other teams, like why bother? You know, why bother? There's no chance that you're going to beat Golden State in the playoffs.
No. Golden State went, I believe, a record, NBA record, 15 straight games, playoff wins.
In the playoffs, yeah.
In the playoffs. Now, didn't lose a game until game four of the finals.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's impressive. Look, I enjoy watching good teams. I mean, you know. Be it the Patriots.
I mean, it is greatness. You're always going to remember this team.
Yeah, you know, and it's always fun. You know, could this? And again, the NBA, like every other sport, like every sport, it evolves. You know, but you put this with the great Lakers and Celtics and Detroit teams of the '80s. You know, and I know the Lakers had great teams with Shaq and Kobe.
And I guess, you know, people would say, well, yeah, I mean, well, the Lakers and Celtics were that same way in the 80s, but those were all, those teams were built through the draft and maybe a trade. It wasn't just some guy saying, hey, I'm going to go play every year.
Well, but that's what we just said that the Warriors did.
Well, and the Warriors and the Heat, and I'm worried. So now that this happens, now there are rumors of Chris Paul, like, well, shit, he may go try to sign, because he's a free agent, he may go try to sign with somewhere else. I'm just, you know, I don't like the whole... You're going to start building up super team, you know, a
no,
couple
you're,
of super teams.
You're right. And again, I mean, but this doesn't seem. This isn't as blatant as what Miami did.
No. It's the exact it's the exact same thing. I mean, I didn't like it when Miami did it.
But Golden State has not done that. You just said.
They built the three guys, but then you pull in – you add an MVP to that.
Well,
they pulled in Durant over there.
Well, so, I mean, should they not have gone after Durant?
No, look, I don't – it's just, that's the way the system is set up. When the cap jumped these past few years from the new TV deals, that allowed that to happen because the league wanted to smooth the increases in the cap, and the players said, no, fuck it. We want all the money now.
Right.
So because of that, Golden State had the cap space
to bring in Durant.
Right. This year, and look, I don't fault Durant for going there. It's the way the league is set up. I don't know.
Do you think if the cap wouldn't have worked out, you think he'd have went somewhere else, or you think he'd have taken less money to go to Golden State? And I know this is just speculation.
No, I think he would have stayed in Oklahoma City.
You think he would have stayed in Oklahoma City?
If the cap wouldn't have jumped up as much, and the Warriors would have never offered, now they could have said, "Hey, look, if you want to take." Half your price for a year and come here.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Do you think he'd have done that? That's what my question was. Do you think he'd have taken less money to go, or you think he'd have stayed in OKC?
Oof. Wow. I mean, it's easy to say, well, yeah, look, take half the money for 1 year, get one title, and then you can go and do whatever you want. But in leaving Oklahoma City, I guess you really don't care if you piss off an entire city.
Right.
I mean, the whole city hates him.
Right. Well, but no one hated LeBron James more than Cleveland.
They embraced him coming back, yeah.
And they embraced him. I mean, not only was he the franchise, but he was a hometown boy. And then he had a huge misstep with the way that he handled all of that with the decision and, you know.
Oh, yeah. He completely handled it the wrong way.
Totally messed up. You know, but he went to Miami, won his championships. And then came back and brought a championship to Cleveland.
So maybe let me amend a little bit how I feel about it. I haven't watched the finals because to me, especially watching what Golden State is, Golden State's average margin of victory was like 16 points.
Mm-hmm.
It takes to me, it's like, well, Golden State's going to win. I'm not even going to bother watching because I know – I know Golden State's going to win.
Right.
And even though they lost game four.
Right.
You know, game tonight is in Golden State. I think
it's over. I think it's over. But look, game two, and I'd be lying if I said I watched any other play. I just watched the finals. You know, game two, the Cavs were not game two. Game three, the Cavs were up.
Guess we're up, and they came. Yeah.
And Golden State came back with under a minute left. You know,
they did. I saw the highlight. Yeah, Durant hit that big three. Saw the highlight.
Yeah, you know. Now, game four, Cleveland just dominated. Dude, that first, I think they...
Yeah, I mean, 80-something points in the first half.
That was insane.
That's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's fun to watch. Look,
these are two super teams, superpowers, yeah. Super teams.
I agree. Two superpowers. But again, I don't think either one of them... I would not compare them to what the Heat did several years ago or how that went down. They weren't built in the same way. Cleveland, you know, LeBron went back to Cleveland, you know, if he wanted to. So, hey, God bless him. I like it. I think obviously Golden State has been very dominant because they're going to go through the whole playoffs, I believe, and only lose one by the time. Obviously, by the time someone hears this, y'all will
right.
What will happen. So, maybe it's all mute and Golden State's already a champion.
And I'm probably also a little skewed because I hate when I go to the Pelicans game when the Warriors come to town and there's all these goddamn bandwagon Warriors fans. It pisses me off.
Dude, you get that in football. How many fucking cocksuckers used to wear? Back in the day, used to see San Francisco's jerseys. And not just in the dome, but around, you know, New Orleans and Metairie, you're walking around. I ain't seen a fucking San Francisco jersey except for when the team comes here and they're wearing them in fucking 30 years. Yeah, I hate those people too. Fuck them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm not going to watch again tonight either. I'm going to watch Better Call Saul later tonight.
Well, I can do both. I have DVR.
Okay, I'll watch the highlights tomorrow and hear about it. All right, well, that's it. I'm not going to do Jeff Spiel. Just check us out on Twitter, Facebook, tell your friends about us, blah, blah. And, God, I'm trying to think of... fuck it. Bye-bye, Jeff Donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
Somebody hates me, 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 I hate somebody too.